RadioMD.
RadioMD.com.
Dr. Pam Peek, New York Times bestselling author and founder of the Peek Performance Center, and Michelle King Robeson, leading women's advocate, entrepreneur, and founder of EmpowHer.com, host the show everyone's talking about. It's time for Her Radio on RadioMD.
Okay, just how quickly, Michelle, does a man's masculinity get threatened? I'll give you a choice, 1, 2, or 3 nanoseconds. Yes? So what we're going to be doing is we're going to be talking about the whole issue of what happens when a man's masculinity is threatened. And we have with us Dr. Sapna Cherian, who is an associate professor of psychology at the University of Washington and has just published a fascinating study in social psychology and is going to tell us what is with this whole issue of men and masculinity. Dr. Cherian, welcome to Her Radio. So what's going on? Tell us about the study.
Yeah, so what we wanted to look at was exactly what you said. What happens when a man has his masculinity threatened? It's something that we believe men face often in their lives. Masculinity is a really powerful identity and something that a lot of men feel a lot of pressure to live up to. And so we wanted to see, you know, what happens when in their lives when they're going around and do something that implicates their masculinity. And so what we did is we had men squeeze a grip tester. It's kind of like a set of calipers that you squeeze as hard as you can, and it reads out how strong you are, how strong your grip is. And for half of the men who did this test, we lied to all the men, but we lied to half of them and told them that their grip was weak, very weak for men. In fact, that their grip looked more like the average woman's grip strength than the average man's grip strength. And then for the other half, we told them that their grip was average for men. So in that group, their masculinity wasn't threatened. And then we just asked them, you know, what we told them was background information, things like, how tall are you? How many relationships have you been in? Tell us about your personality. And what we found is that the men who had had their masculinity threatened by being told that they had a weak grip ended up exaggerating their height, saying they had been in more past relationships, saying they were handier with tools, and rating their personality with more a masculine slant.
So let me see if I got this right, okay? Mm-hmm. So that means that if the guys were had masculinity threatened within the construct of, you know, the study that you did, one of the things they did was they overcompensated, right? Mm-hmm. They overcompensated when their masculinity felt threatened, yes?
Yeah, that's right. We actually, the reason we know it's overcompensating is because at the end of the study, we actually measured everybody's height, so we had them stand up, and we actually, like...
Are you kidding?
I thought that.
I love it.
Yeah.
It's all numbers for men.
Yeah, exactly. And so we... And the group
5'9" becomes 6 feet.
Yeah, well, it's exactly right. So the men who were threatened exaggerated their height, because now we know their actual height.
Exactly.
The, you know, the height that they gave us, and it was 3/4 inch exaggeration. And
I read that.
Yeah, the men who weren't threatened, they actually gave us the right answer. So they told us their height accurately. So it's not that men walk around exaggerating their height all the time, you know, at least not inside an experiment, social psychology experiment. But when they need to, when they feel like they are having their masculinity doubted, then height becomes one way of trying to assert that identity.
So
all right. So go to this whole issue. You're a psychologist of masculinity.
Exactly.
You know, in your study, one of the things you found was that when this, you know, this concept of masculinity, certainly in our culture, is challenged, men tend to overcompensate by, you know, increasing their height and all these other things, et cetera. Where did this ideal of masculinity actually come from?
That's a good question. I mean, I think in America it might be particularly strong because we have this kind of like frontier, individual, independent, you know, those are all kind of masculine things. And we all strive to be these kind of independent, you know, making money, high status kind of people. But I would also say that it's not only men who are subject to these kind of pressures, but women also face pressures to be, you know, feminine or at least not masculine. So women who, you know, don't like kids, for example, people are going to give them a little bit of negative, like, why don't you like kids? You know, you're a woman, shouldn't you like kids? Or women who are assertive at work, and then people might come back and call them some unfriendly names, right? So women also face similar kinds of pressure to act in certain ways, and those pressures, you know, might see similar result if I threatened your femininity, for example. But I do think that masculinity, the pressure to be masculine in some ways is even stronger, because for women now we've entered the workforce and, you know, we can play sports, there's some things we can do, but for men there's still a lot of things that if men do them, they're immediately seen as weak or
right,
like, you know, many other like negative things.
So do you think this is why men maybe don't show emotion?
I think that is one of the things that you know, is associated with being feminine. And I think, you know, for example, a man who cries, he's immediately going to be judged negatively because he's not going to be seen as standing up to that ideal of being tough.
Well, so much for the guy, what's his name, Boehner, in our lovely Congress.
Yeah.
You know, who every time you look at him the wrong way, if you can get past his tan, then, you know, he's crying.
You know, he
got reelected again. He was crying. And I think a lot of us, I was personally horrified because it was like, please, you know, you're heading up a huge chunk of Congress here. Let's kind of hold on to that. But you know, and there I am.
I like a man that cries, Pam.
Yeah, but not in front of the whole damn Congress.
Well, sometimes it's going to happen that way. They probably
But do you see, Dr. Chernia, you know, do you see kind of where we're going with this? It's like, oh my gosh, there's bias there. What's happening with that?
Right, exactly. Like, I mean, when we see men who do something that's feminine, even women judge them negatively, even though those are things that we might be okay seeing in our female friends or whatever, you know. So there's a lot of pressure, I think, on men to not do things that are feminine and to kind of live up to that. You know, you can see it in like stay-at-home dads.
Right.
They get a lot of pressure, like on the playground or whatever. You know, why aren't a lot of questions about why they aren't working and a lot of assumptions about them, and those kind of pressures are not, you know, kind of like delved out to stay-at-home mom.
And with other men, right? They have pressure from other men,
right,
that they're stay-at-home dads.
Yeah.
Which I find fascinating that they, you know, don't embrace that a little bit more. But so when you conducted the study, why did you do that?
The way I got this idea, I was actually at the gym and I was reading a men's fitness magazine. This is several years ago. They had a little segment or section in the magazine called What Do You Bench? And what they did is they go out to the street, they find a random guy, and then they ask him what he bench presses, and then they bring him into the gym, and they put that amount of weight on the bench, and then they take a photo while he's trying to bench that amount. And it's like a hilarious column because, you know, basically, invariably, the guy exaggerates.
Women lying about their age.
Nah,
it's like women lying about
like
their age.
He lied like a rug.
Right.
Lied like a rug, you know?
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And, I mean, this is the pressure. You know, you just see that pressure. Someone comes up to you and asks you, what do you bench? You're going to just, you know, increase that by a few pounds just to show how, like,
no,
burly you are.
But it's after you thrust out your chest and let everyone see little hair you have on your chest and back and forth.
Right.
You know, we've been talking to Dr. Supna Cherian, who is a University of Washington Associate Professor of Psychology and the author of a fabulous and very provocative study that helped us understand why men tend to overcompensate when they feel their masculinity is threatened. And if you want to read more about the study, just go to washington.edu and learn more about this fabulous data. And Dr. Cherian, thank you so much for being on Her Radio. I'm Dr. Pam Peek with Michelle King Robeson.
Watch out for men and their masculinity. You're listening to Her Radio on Radio MD. Follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook. Stay well.